God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Friend, don't you like to make your decisions based on accurate and unbiased information about a given subject or person? This is Pastor Larry at Southwest Radio Church. That's what we expect from the news media, but we are not getting it. Even social media and search engines are agenda-driven, not fact-driven. Recently, Project Veritas released several new undercover videos exposing anti-conservative bias at Google. In October, LifeSite News reported that a manager at Google affirmed that searches are skewed by the owners and the drivers of the algorithm to play God in favoring the election prospects of Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and harming those of President Donald Trump. With growing alarms about the enormous ability of big tech companies like Google, Facebook, and Twitter to censor and even suppress political speech, significantly impacting elections, Project Veritas, a nonprofit undercover reporting enterprise, has released new videos of conversations with Google managers verifying how such suppression is actually taking place right now. Using a hidden camera, the Project Veritas reporters visited with a Google advertising manager who explained that the organization can offer free advertising credits to Democratic parties for advertising. They can also stop so-called right-wing parties from advertising. The advertising manager also bragged about how he declined selling advertising to a representative of the Conservative Party of the United Kingdom who had contacted him since the group supports Brexit. Now, we can't have any conservatives getting a good show, can we? Friends, do you believe the Bible? It tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, does that mean all Scripture is profitable? It sure does. But how can the Old Testament be profitable, especially those 50 or so chapters that are devoted to the tabernacle? It is the most detailed explanation of anything that we find in the Bible. Our guest is Dr. Alan Walker. He is a prophetic researcher and writer. He has produced some really helpful material on the tabernacle that will help you to study and get into the Word of God and see all the riches of what God has revealed. Alan, thank you so much for being on the show once again.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be with you today, sir.
Well, I really mean what I said at the opening. You know, it says all Scripture is profitable, and I know a lot of times people say, well, what about the genealogies? What about the tabernacle? But the material that you have sent and revealed and that we'd like to send to our listeners really helps us to get into that. So I think you've done a marvelous job in opening up a portion of Scripture that, well, it's a little different than John 3:16, but it is part of the Word of God. So tell us, what was the tabernacle?
Well, Larry, by way of introduction, the tabernacle was a portable building where God met with the children of Israel in the wilderness there in the Old Testament. The details to build the tabernacle were given to Moses when he received the law from God. And as you already mentioned, there are some 50 chapters in the Scriptures which were given to the tabernacle, giving us some idea of the importance that God places on this subject. It is the most detailed revelation of the plan of redemption in Scripture. The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is seen throughout the tabernacle. The Old Testament sacrificial system, though, is now obsolete after the death of Christ. And we look at these Old Testament examples now, and they are types, pictures, and shadows of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and give us a deeper understanding of what he accomplished on the cross for all Old Testament type and shadow points to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That is so well said. I mean, when we think of the lamb without blemish and the shedding of blood, and we're reminded of what Jesus did for us, how precious the blood of Christ is, I think this is all very, very significant. So, Alan, tell us about the construction of the tabernacle. That's quite elaborate, and like I said, there's all kinds of details there.
Yes, Larry. There were actually three segments to the tabernacle. The outer court was a 7.5 foot high white fence. It was 150 feet long and 75 feet wide, quite a large structure. And it outlined the tabernacle proper, as we say. It had 60 pillars, 7.5 feet tall, that this white fence, white linen fence, was mounted on. And the 7.5 foot high white pillars suggest the righteousness of God, the fact that man could not come into God's presence in his own righteousness. 6 is the number of man in Scripture, and a 7.5 foot high white fence had him barred out. The gate, however, was 35 feet by 7.5 feet, and it was the only entrance into the tabernacle where the worshipers could come by. They could not go over, under, or through the fence, but they had to come by way of the gate, which was a type or a picture of the cross of Christ, which is the only way to God. The tabernacle was constructed, the tabernacle itself, the tabernacle proper, as we call it, was constructed of 48 boards, 15 feet high by 27 inches, and they were made of acacia wood and plated with gold. They had two tenons or projections on the bottom of it, which projected into silver sockets united by 5 horizontal gold-plated bars. The two sections of the tabernacle proper rested on a foundation of 100 silver sockets of 100 pounds each. So with 10,000 pounds of silver there, you can see something of the value that went into this and the gold-plated boards. The tabernacle proper, as we call it, was divided into two sections. The Holy of Holies, which was a 15-foot cube, 15-foot high, 15-foot wide, and 15-foot in each direction. And it's a type or a picture of the New Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God. The holy place was 30 feet by 15 by 15, and in it had the some of the furniture, which we will go into in our next broadcast. But the estimated cost of that was some $2 million, according to Dr. M.R. DeHaan. The roof consisted of 4 layers of material that were tied and staked to the ground and laid over the boards. First, and visible only from the inside, was fine white linen embroidered with blue, purple, scarlet, and figures of cherubim. Second was goat's hair. Let me back up for a moment. The white linen was a type of the righteousness of Christ. The blue was a type of his coming down from heaven. The purple was a type of his kingship, and the fact that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the figures of cherubim show that the angels look into the plan of redemption and learn from God's dealings with man. Second was the goat's hair, which laid underneath that, which was a type of substitute. Jesus became our substitute on the cross, and he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And he became our substitute or scapegoat, as is implied in some places in Scripture. The curtain which overlaid the fine, there was a curtain which overlaid the fine linen. Third was the ram skin dyed and tanned red, which was a type or a picture of redemption by blood, which is, this is throughout the tabernacle. The Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we're reminded of the ram caught in the thicket when Abraham was called on to offer Isaac. The angel stopped him, and God showed the ram caught in the thicket, which again showed the principle of a substitute bearing the sin. And Jesus, as our substitute, bore your sin, my sin, and the sin of the whole world in his death on Calvary. Adam and Eve learned that lesson whenever God put coats of skin on them in the Garden of Eden after they had sinned. And then Abel brought a blood sacrifice where he was accepted of God, and Cain brought the fruit of the ground, which was rejected. Fourth was the badger skin, which some translate that as a porpoise skin, and it spoke of the fact that there was no beauty. It was drab, dull and bluish gray, indicated Jesus after the flesh. He had no form nor comeliness. When we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And only those who enter by faith can see the exquisite beauty of the inside. The tabernacle from the outside looked unattractive to the natural man, but to the believer that's got a look at the kingdom of God from the inside, from being born again and seeing Christ in his glory, we see an inexpressible beauty. But the materials making up the tabernacle included gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, olive oil, spices for the anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in ephod and breastplate. And it was interesting that each Israelite, God took offerings from the children of Israel to build this tabernacle, and each Israelite had to provide his own half shekel of silver. Now, for the individual, that was less than 35 cents atonement money, but all of that silver went into the making of the tabernacle, and it showed that salvation was in the reach of everyone.
Beautiful, beautiful pictures, and I know I've seen acacia wood. It's very hard, isn't it? And when it's polished, it's just a beautiful wood. I think it's very, very fitting. It's very hardy. I remember in southern Israel, in the Negev, you'll see the acacia trees just growing out there in the rocks. And when I think of that, I think of the durability of the will of God. I mean, there's so much in the world that's contrary to the will of God, and yet his will always gets done, and his will is redemptive. And that's such a beautiful truth that it's been a real blessing to me. But Alan, how about the tabernacle look like outside? I mean, if you were outside looking at it, what would it be like?
Yes, Larry, before we go on to that, I just want to add that the cases for the mummies when they buried in Egypt was made of the acacia wood because of its durability, and you mentioned so much detail about that. I just wanted to add that in there. But from the outside, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, the Israelites, the wood is so hard. They must have had some really good tools and worked hard just to work with that wood because it is durable and hard. But they were obviously, I think they were helped by God in a very special way to, you know, when you have a will, a desire to do what God wants you to do, even though it's out of your reach, but God will help you. And that's another lesson I get from that.
Well, Larry, in answer to your question there a moment ago, the tabernacle from the outside, all that the person outside the tabernacle could see was the white linen fence. And then as they gazed over the fence from a distance there, they could see the top of the tabernacle, which, as we already mentioned, was covered with badger skin. And that was a badger, of course, was also translated porpoise, according to many scholars. But it was unattractive from the outside, and that spoke of the fact that during his earthly ministry, Jesus looked like any other human being, and he did not have any special thing that someone could look at him and see that he was the Son of God.
Right. No, you know, halo. No halo over his head. No,
exactly.
No,
yes,
glory.
He came after the flesh in his first coming, and of course that's to be contrasted with his heavenly glory that he experiences now. The inside of the tabernacle had beautiful furniture on the inside of it. The glory of God was there in the Holy of Holies, and it typified the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in many different ways. Actually, we're doing three brief programs on the tabernacle, and as we've already said, it covers some 50 chapters in Scripture, including Exodus, Leviticus, and then even the book of Hebrews gives us insight on the beauty and the glory of the tabernacle and how it contrasted with the outside of the way it looked. From the outside, it looked unattractive, but to the one that was on the inside, it had the most exquisite beauty to it.
Well, like I said at the very opening, you've got 50 chapters, and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. God did not give the Bible to hear himself speak, but he gave it for our good, our edification. And I think you've done a marvelous job in bringing all of that out, and it reminds me to, you know, to pay special attention to those portions of the Word of God that don't seem to, you know, initially jump out and grab us. And no doubt John 3:16 grabs me all the time, although there's a lot of other things there. But I think this is a tremendous study, and I really appreciate the work that you've done, Alan. I think maybe in a later program we'll talk a little bit about the study materials that you provided. And I really want to encourage our listeners to think seriously. If they want to get into this portion of the Word of God, Alan has got some great stuff that will help you get into the Word. Well, Alan, thank you so much, and we're going to have you back for another program.
Thank you, Larry. Enjoy being with you. Thank you, and God bless.
Matthew, please come to the mic. And friends, if your heart is warmed by this material, I can tell you that the material that Alan Walker has provided will be very, very helpful to you.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new DVD by Alan Walker titled The Tabernacle. You can have a copy for a gift of $15 if you live in the United States and $20 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can also write to us and place your order. Just send your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. Be sure to include any questions or prayer requests when you do. And you can always visit us online on our website at swrc.com. Besides this great 90-minute DVD, we also have the CD of the PowerPoint presentation, including images and notes, perfect for home study or in a group. You can have the CD for a gift of $10. Better yet, why not get both the DVD and the CD for a gift of $20? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
At a public hearing held by Pennsylvania lawmakers and President Trump's campaign advisors, a witness drew gasps when he described spikes in the vote count the evening of the election in which Joe Biden gained 570,000 votes to Trump's 3,200. The spikes in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh came after Trump held a lead of some 700,000 votes. The official count ended with a Biden lead of some 80,000.
Trump called into the meeting of the Pennsylvania Senate Majority Committee on Election Issues and Irregularities, declaring that he, quote, won this election by a lot. We got 74 million votes, close quotes.
The witness explained to the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, that normally you would see a smooth curve going up, recording the ongoing vote count. Consequently, he said a big spike would be a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
Navid Kishore Arvaz, cybercrime expert, recently praised by the New York Times, declared in a sworn affidavit in a Sidney Powell lawsuit that hundreds of thousands of votes were shifted from President Trump to Joe Biden in battleground states. Kishore Arvaz stated, "I conclude with high confidence that the election 2020 data were altered in all battleground states, resulting in hundreds of thousands of votes that were cast for President Trump to be transferred to Vice President Biden," he wrote.
The fact is, friends, we are facing the great dystopian reset. The World Economic Forum has stated, quote, "There is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative."
In the spirit of never letting a crisis go to waste, COVID-19 has offered the perfect opportunity to destroy the world economy and usher in some of the most ridiculous, draconian, and unsustainable social agendas imaginable. Everything that has happened so far in 2020, lockdowns, destruction of small businesses, crippled economy, is an attempt to shove people into such desperate circumstances that they will call on the elite overlords to rescue them. The only obstacle, the only thing holding them back from this devilish scheme, is another 4 years of the Trump presidency. Do you really think the backers of the Great Global Reset are too honest to cheat in a national election?
In the online CatholicNewsAgency.com on October 16th was a commentary about the Philadelphia town hall event with Joe Biden held the night before. It was there he declared that, quote, young children should be able to change gender identities without any discrimination, in response to a woman who said she had an 8-year-old child who identified as transgender. The woman asked him what he would do about the Trump administration's ban on gender transition in the military and other weakening of non-discrimination rules. Biden said that her 8-year-old should be able to switch gender identities freely. The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgendered, that's what I think I'd like to be. It'd make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination, Biden said. He also said he would eliminate the Trump administration's rules affecting gender transition. I will flat out just change the law. Eliminate those executive orders, number one, Biden said. In addition to banning gender transition in the military, the Trump administration rolled back another Obama administration requirement that people and organizations recognize someone's gender transition rather than biological sex. While Biden said he would overturn the Trump administration's orders, he did not explain what he would do about religious exemptions for doctors or religious nonprofits who have conscientious objections to gender transition surgery. Instead of Biden's answer, it would seem to have been a legitimate question to ask the mother, "What kind of parent are you not to support your child to be what he or she is, rather than live in a fantasy world of alternate reality? What 10-year-old has sufficient understanding of sexual maturity to think that way without you failing in parental guidance?" The cold facts are that someone who has had sex change surgery will never be able to have children or a normal marriage relationship. Statistics show a much higher number of suicides and other problems among those who have had physical alterations. We live in an unfortunate time when common sense is no longer common, and spiritual wisdom is forsaken for lunacy. When followed to conclusion, the course taken by many will not lead to a good end. Romans 1:18-27 is God's commentary on this form of rebellion to his order. Here's what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In Psalm 71:1, we find direction. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
The Church of God in Christ, a predominantly African-American body of 6.5 billion members, has held its first ever national ballot drive. Another 10 or so smaller holiness denominations, including the African Methodist Episcopal Church with 2.5 million adherents, are joining with them in urging their people to go to the polls, and indeed, they have gone to the polls.
Historically, holiness groups have refrained from entering politics, which they believe is worldly in nature and needs to be avoided by Christians. Most civically active black pastors are Baptist, including Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and others. Church of God in Christ presiding Bishop Charles E. Blake has initiated a Press to the Polls campaign to register 250,000 CGOGIC members and get them to vote in November. Blake was one of 26 Pentecostal charismatic African-American church leaders to sign an open letter to Hillary Clinton regarding religious freedom for black America that was released within 10 days of the 2016 presidential election.
The document took issue with her statement that, quote, deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed, close quotes, to secure crucial access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth. It also expressed concern about her championing of gay marriage and willingness to censor and undermine biblical expressions in public life.
This is significant in that it signals the realization that politics is indeed a concern of the church, even among those who have historically tried to not be politically involved. Especially in the 2020 presidential election, it is obvious that one party has departed so far from decency and morality that only the dead would argue against being politically involved.
The tabernacle was a portable building where God met with Israel in the wilderness. There are over 50 chapters in Scripture given to the tabernacle. Our special offer today deals with some of those types and shadows of the tabernacle that were fulfilled by Jesus. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. And our website is swrc.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us again tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Alan Walker finish this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.